And now, in conversation with the boyhood heroes who became his broadcasting colleagues, this is My Radio 1 with Sean
Tilley. From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'm introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1. Sean Tilley. My Radio 1. And it is always a thrill, a delight to be in the company of my good friend...
Wow, that brings back memories, Sean, that does.
I thought it might.
That's a Radio 1 jingle, that. They had a great jingle package based on the American radio stations. It was done by, you know, the PAMs. Or
yeah, and then Jam, of course, by the time that one came around that we've just heard there. So after 7 years of national radio exposure already on Luxembourg, how did the big move to the BBC come about?
Well, of course, it's... I'll be honest, I thought I'd missed the boat with Radio 1 because, as you say, I was at Radio Luxembourg 7 years, and I always remember being told to not stay at a station for more than 5 years, not in Luxembourg, because you become Mr. Luxembourg then. You can't. And what I was doing, I was sending tapes to Radio 2, and if ever they surfaced those tapes, I'd pay money to keep it quiet. I really would. So if God, please destroy them.
But it couldn't have been that bad, because presumably one of those tapes filtered through to the management at Radio 1.
No, it was actually Noel Edmonds. And I don't know how it came about, but the Radio 1 used to do the Brands Hatch racing things, racing days. And Noel is very... he could have been a Formula 1 racing driver if he'd stuck to that, you know, right at the beginning. He suggested they have me over as a kind of a guest. I mean, from another radio station. I was with Radio Luxembourg. And I got to meet Johnny Beerling, and I realise now that it was, you know, meet the guy, see what you think, and like that. And I mustn't have said anything to, Radio 1. I hate that station. I work for Radio Luxembourg. Can you imagine if I'd done that?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was great. And I was invited over to London a month or so later. And to have an interview with the head of Radio 1, which is Derek Chinnery, no longer with us. He offered me the job, starting off as a weekend show.
It was clearly viewed by Radio 1 management as a big signing, because you were coming from Luxembourg, and they even arranged a photo call for you with the press and the Radio Times.
And who was the other DJ on that photo call?
I don't know.
Simon Bates. Bates, the two of us. We had never met, you know. We got signed at the same time. So it was... I don't remember much about the press conference, you know.
They described you as hot property.
Very good.
That first show.
They describe stolen goods the same way, don't they?
They did.
I never thought of that.
They stole you.
They stole me from Radio Luxembourg.
From Radio Luxembourg. Sunday, the 24th of March, 1974, Paul, was the very first programme on Radio 1.
You're talking about glamour. You know, we were saying, I've heard you mention it a few times, it was a very glamorous time to be a DJ, especially on a national radio station like Radio 1. So I was very nervous. I think I talked so fast on that first show that somebody said, you sounded like you were running from something, you know, because I did. You know, just spoke so
fast. Shall
we
have a listen?
Oh, please, no.
Yeah, we've got to.
This is
Paul's very first link, as we call it in the business.
I apologise now.
On that debut Radio 1 show. Here we go.
Paul Burnett will be coming up on Radio 1 for his first Radio 1 show in a few seconds. Sam Costa on Radio 2 for his 490 millionth. And I'll see you tomorrow, okay? 7 o'clock. Bye!
It's Sunday morning on Radio 1, and it's all there is to hear with Paul Burnett. And a very good morning to you. Paul Burnett's the name, and the program's called All There Is to Hear, and that says it all. Because the idea of the program between 10 and 1 every Sunday is to bring you the best sounds of Radio 1. All the sounds you're going to hear throughout the coming week.
On that handover, it's Ed Stewart who's welcoming you to the team. And it was quite a memorable first meeting with Ed, wasn't it?
Well, legends about his meanness, but which was not true.
Not true at all.
He played up, you know, because, you know. So I'm on the air Still very nervous, as you'd imagine. And the door opens. Paul, Ed Stewart. I used to watch Crackerjack. You know, and he said, just to say welcome to Radio 1. And I thought, oh, nice. Have you got 10 bob on you? Because I've got a taxi outside. It's only afterwards when he left, you know, I thought, It's all true. I never got it back.
And it wasn't long before you were depping for Noel on breakfast, Tony Blackman in the mornings, and Johnny Walker at lunchtime.
We're all having fun.
I am here, Paul, and I won today.
You're 1 year old today?
It's my birthday.
What happened then? Is that the program, is it?
Yeah. Terrific. We've been going one whole year today.
You've been celebrating, haven't you?
And they said it wouldn't last. Yeah, we've been celebrating. Yes,
bottles of milk, no doubt.
Little bottle of milk, and we're going to have another bottle of milk at 3 o'clock. So if you're around, you might like to join us.
Oh, terrific, David. Congratulations once again, and here's to another year.
Thank you very much indeed, Paul.
Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
6 o'clock on Radios 1 and 2. My name is Paul Burnett, and this is the top 20 as compiled for the BBC by the British Market Research Bureau.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 20.
And then, this is interesting, because you'd done the chart show on Radio Luxembourg for so many years. But then, in June 1974, you filled in on the Sunday evening Top 20, which was broadcast on Radios 1 and 2. I mean, you can imagine the audience. Tom Brown was the regular presenter of it. All of a sudden, though, you were going from doing the chart show on Luxembourg. This is the official Top 20. This is the one that the whole record industry recognised, the whole country listened to religiously on a Sunday evening. Within no time, it's your feet aren't touching the ground stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, top of the Pops. I mean, that was huge.
Let's talk about that, because naturally, you being the new guy at Radio 1 led to you fronting that show. It was actually within 2 months of you joining Radio 1.
You tell me that, and I really wouldn't remember.
Top of the Pops is in that first year in 1974 than you did any other year that you were on the station through to 1982.
Yeah. Sort of tailed off after that.
But it was a task that you found quite terrifying, wasn't it?
Oh, we all did. We all did. I remember I had to, Tony Blackburn said, come on, give you a taste of the show the week before. And he said, we were in his dressing room, and he said, can you smell that smell? I said, no, what's that? He said, fear. You can smell it. I'll swear I did. Mind you, if you can smell fear, something very nasty has happened.
Yes,
anyway,
yes.
We won't go down that road. Of course, who wouldn't be? And the thing is that really, most jocks will tell you this, you always felt like you were in the way, really, because the crew, the floor manager and all the rest of it, you would do a link from this part of the studio, and then you couldn't just walk over to the other place, because you might walk into camera or something, because cameras are everywhere. So you'd be guided, and they'd kind of pull you or push you and, come on, over here. And then you'd stand there waiting while the previous act finished. I would have liked to have done more.
Don't panic. You've got the right channel. This is Top of the Pops.
Monday, the 22nd of July, 1974, and your profile was raised once again, even more, because that was the start of your very first week on the Radio 1 Roadshow. Do you remember the first week that you ever did?
It was in Wales.
It was!
We're going to have a lucky dip now, and I'll dip into the box and pull out a dedication, which has just been handed in to us. And this one's been written on a piece of wood. And it says, somebody picked it up on the beach, and it says, I am on an island and I need help. Oh, no.
Wales, of course, beautiful, beautiful country, but it does rain a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
And it was Johnny Beerlings. He came with me on that one because, I was new to it. And he got one of those, those bikes, four wheels, and you see people around holiday camps sort of peddling away there. He made me go all over town promoting this, you know, the Radio 1 roadshow with leaflets and everything. And it's misty and wet and, you know, everything. But it was fun.
Back in 1966, that reached number 4 in the July of that year in the chart. Ike and Tina Turner, River Deep and Mountain High. Well, we've had some unusual requests handed up, written on various items of clothing, of course. And here's one that's written on a, well, I can only describe it as a canoe paddle. And it's from everybody at the boating lake, all the staff there. And they want us to play a record. I don't know why they put it on a paddle. I think possibly they think that somebody like me, who's up the creek so many times, I could well use it sometimes. So I'm going to keep the paddle, but read out the request that's written on it, painted on it, in fact. It's for Carl, Jeff, Chris, John, Bill, Ken, Paul, Sean, Arthur, also Maureen and Evan.
One of those early roadshow experiences, and you've talked about the race meetings. It was the Radio 1 Fun Day at Mallory Park in Leicestershire with the Bay City Rollers. You were on air first, followed by David Hamilton and Annie Nightingale together. So what are your memories of that event?
Well, I'll never forget it, that's for sure. First of all, I mean, you may find it hard to believe, you youngsters listening to this, but the Bay City Rollers were huge. I mean, they were really huge. Bless their little tartan turnips. They really were popular. And the records are good. You know, they were good sort of, you know, straightforward pop records. And they were being helicoptered in for this. And I'm doing the road show. But here's the thing, Mallory Park, I mean, it's a full-blooded racetrack. I mean, there was a Formula Ford race, the little single-seaters, you know. But they're all whizzing around this. And the idea was, I mean, it looks perfect. It runs around a lake, and in the middle of the lake, there's an island, and that was the hospitality place. So all the guests would be, you know, taken there with the big marquee and everything. And it was pandemonium, because these kids... that's the place to be, the island. And they're running across the racetrack in the middle of a what looks like a Formula One race, and to in between the cars, and wading across and swimming to this island. And the police, in fact, I was on the air, and the chief constable of the area was there with the old gold braid, silver braid on the cap and everything. And he wanted to take me off the air. He said, take this off the
Welcome
air.
Welcome back to the David Hamilton Show. We're on the road at Mallory Park. If you're listening to us earlier in the day, you'd have heard Paul Burnett on the air, and I gather, Paul, it was join the land of the living. It was a fairly hectic morning, wasn't it?
Was it, really? Yeah. I mean, I think it's exceeded everybody's expectations, you know, the people arriving, and unfortunately it's caught everybody on the hop a little bit, because in front of the caravan, the Radio 1 caravan, when we did the show this morning, the police did a marvellous job, and the nurses and the first aid people and everything. It was really like a battlefront.
Paul Burnett, good morning on Radio 1.
Yeah, I bet you can't go 3 hours of your programme without mentioning the heatwave.
Bet you I can.
Bet you can't.
Bet you I can.
Bet you can't.
Bet you I can.
Bet you can't what?
Go 3 hours of my programme without mentioning the heatwave.
Yeah, you mentioned it already. Yeah?
And by that scorching summer of 1976, Johnny Walker decided that he wasn't going to play the Bay City Rollers anymore. And that was the catalyst for him leaving the network and you taking over his show, which then very much became your show. Show on Monday the 5th of July that year.
The last Johnny Walker show, and I'd like to send a lot of good wishes to Paul Burnett, who takes over the lunchtime show on Monday, and if he gets as much pleasure as I have from being on the radio each day, he won't want for very much. Good luck to you, Paul.
Thank you, Don Durbridge. Welcome back to the music here on 247. This is Automatic Man. Fabulous sound. It's called My Pearl.
And there were some memorable features. Fun at One. What was the idea behind that?
Well, because I've always been a fan of stand-up comedy, and there were some great, mostly American, it was more or less America that ruled, you know, they were just fabulous at that kind of art. It is an art. And so I thought, well, at lunchtime, it's a time of the day when people are, you know, kind of sat more attentive listening to the radio, and what a perfect spot to have fun at One, you know, and it was my idea, and it was very popular, and we brought out two albums, compilation albums, of all the various, the most popular stuff.
It's 1 minute past one, and time for... Hang on, Shelley Berman's on the phone again.
Hello, hello, hello there. Hello, is this Sunnyside 59028? Sally, will you let me finish, please?
Fun at one, can I just tell you one of my favourite stories? And I think I might have told you before. I got a letter from the guy who fires the 1 o'clock gun on Edinburgh Castle. Every day at 1 o'clock, they fire a gun. And he actually asked me, he said, do you think you could, can you move it? Just because I miss it when, you know. So I always imagined, I delayed it a bit. And I always imagined this guy in a kilt and he's got the full regalia on, firing the gun, racing back to hear the latest comedy track. So that was a very nice thing. That kind of interaction with audiences is super. But the nice thing it had to be in a letter.
Right, Malcolm, are you ready on the piano there? Because we have, of course, our pub of the day feature with the time at 23 minutes away from 2 o'clock and, look how the bongo player started already. Go on, Malcolm, you'll finish first. There we go. No, the race is on now. Who will finish first? The bongo player or Malcolm on the piano? Well done, Malcolm. There, you finished first. Sorry, bongo player. Yes, hit him with the head. That's it. Malcolm hit him on the head again with a fire bucket.
Pub of the day?
Pub of the day. Oh, yes. Well, because, again, lunchtime, a lot of pubs.
We used to send
in
the scrolls out.
Yeah, we had a scroll. You nominated Pub of the Day.
That was Johnny Bristol and Do It To My Mind. And before that, you heard Johnny Guitar Watson and Superman Lover, two in a row, a sort of a lunchtime sandwich on the lunchtime show. Oh, that rhymed, that was nice. National Radio 1. I must say happy wedding anniversary to Dean and Tracy. Oh, no, they're the children. Oh, I see. Actually, it's Linda May and Lenny who are celebrating their 9th wedding anniversary today. And also want to say lots of love to Dean and Tracy, who I hope are listening in right now. This is the Paul Burnett Show, live from London on 247. Time is just coming up to 1:30 on the biggest and best in radio. Don't go anywhere else. And in the newsroom, it's Robin Boyle.
The one that I can't believe, I've got around to it. I don't know if you recall that one. That was, it seemed to be quite popular. I saw it years ago, but a sticker on the back that we used to send out. The idea was, is there a job that you haven't got around? Is your wife or your partner nagging you to get this done? And so, you know, well, you'll get around to it. And so that's what it was. It was a round sticker. I mean, really, it's a bit... I'm embarrassed explaining it, actually, but it was around to it. I got around to it with Paul Burnett. You know, that was a sticker on the back. I saw it faded. It was faded, but it was still on this car, you know.
That's number one in the American charts. And you can hear the complete countdown of the US Top 30. And lots of music from the American Top 10 from exactly 10 years ago. Tomorrow, from the man who's got more degrees than the Tower of Pisa. That's right.
Again, the genie.
Do you realize what this means? There is intelligent life on Radio 1.
Is, was, should have. Remember that? So, Is was your favourite current show record?
That was good. I thought that because, we all have our all-time favourite record, and then your current favourite, and a record that you think should have been a hit and wasn't, you know.
But now, it's just gone 1 minute... Well, it's coming up to 1 minute past 12, and time for Is, Was, and...
Jukebox Junction.
I didn't realise I was so productive.
I'm getting very innovative.
I don't know about the listeners, but I'm going to be very impressed with my performance.
That was good.
And they were all my ideas,
yeah.
I have to say.
You love jukeboxes.
But they encourage you. Yes, I had a 1958 Seaberg 100. It had 100 singles on it. I put it double A sides on it, just because that way all the selections are hits, you know. The sound effects I used on that were recorded from that jukebox.
Oh, how lovely, yeah.
Radio 1, Jukebox Junction, on the Paul Burnett Show.
Silly Vivian Rhymes of Brackley, North Ants, has no reason to wait any longer because it's her card that we're featuring today. It's for her husband, Peter, who works as a service engineer. Best husband in the world, she describes him, and will make a wonderful daddy. It would appear that there's a baby due soon. In fact, in December, around about the 28th. So, good luck with that, of course. But right now, we need the registration number of the vehicle that Peter drives, and it is OBY26W. So that's the, that's the letter O, the number 2. Right. Dave, I hope something comes up that you like. And likewise with the child, though. I'm sure that, boy, girl, you won't care either way.
It's amazing trying to explain this to people now, but the new chart came out on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
The entire country would be glued to you revealing those all-important chart numbers. That's a thrill.
It was, yeah.
For the first time in 7 weeks, I'm going to be able to announce a brand new number one. But first of all, a complete countdown. It really is a very exciting chart with 11 new entries, 8 of them all coming in together at the bottom of the chart.
It was exciting, of course, particularly when you think that that record, which is now one of those, that everybody knows and some huge hits, the first time people heard it was on that show. Mm. They weren't the radio stations there are now, for example.
D-I-S-C-O, Ottawa, which is down one place to number 3 this week from number 2 last week. Here's status quo. They were last week at number 4, and now they're number 2 with what you're proposing. Incidentally, last week we didn't have any winners of the top 3 forecast competition because of Barbra Streisand bouncing in at number 1 and catching everybody by surprise. But we have 3 winners today, and we'll be reading out their names and addresses after the number 1 sound at 1 o'clock. Right. Countdown after this.
It was quite an honour, really, to be in that position of revealing. Then people were waiting to hear that new release.
Climbing 6 places to number 5, My Best Friend's Girl from Cars. John Travolta and Sandy is down 1 place to number 4. Next to it, another song from Greece. This week's number 3, Summer Nights from John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. That's down 2 places, of course, the former number 1. Climbing 2 places to number 2 is yet again another song from the film Greece. Olivia Newton-John and Hopelessly Devoted to You. And this week, it has to be the Boomtown Rats and Rats Rap, up 1 place to number 1. 6 weeks in the chart.
And who could ever forget your encounter with a wasp on the Radio 1 Roadshow in Bew during that summer of 1978?
Yeah, so many people thought that was some publicity stunt. It sounded so ridiculous. But, it was with Brian Patton, the producer who used to look after the West Country gigs, which we all loved doing, by the way, because weather was always great. Not like Wales. Anyway, so I always did the warm-up. You know, you do a warm-up, get the audience involved, and so they feel like they're part of it being on the radio. And it's all part of the whole thing. And I would then always have a half a lager. Non-alcoholic, of course. Always have just before I went behind the mic, because I get a bit dry in the throat after all this talking and everything. So anyway, I took a sip. I was looking at the audience. I took a sip out of the beer and didn't look at, you don't. And I felt this, there was a solid object, and it went down my throat, and I realised immediately it was a wasp. And Brian Patton saying, getting everybody geared up. And I'm on my knees and I'm retching and making dreadful noises. Trying to bring out. And the only bit that came out was the top half, which is not the half that was doing the damage, because it stung me inside the throat. But Brian, he thought I was doing it for a laugh. And he came and said, "This isn't very funny." I said, "It's not supposed to be. I've got a wasp." And I explained. And so I went on the air, did the first link. The Radio 1
World Show. Today, live from the Summerlees Beach at Bew with Paul Burnett.
I have been stung by a wasp. Get this, I swallowed it, and it stung me on its way down. The naughty little swine of a thing. However, I'm sucking on an ice lolly in order to try and bring the swelling down. and my head is shrinking. Great.
And my voice sounds, you know, perfectly normal. And Brian, in the meantime, put out a call. You know, you've heard this, you know, is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the audience? And there was. There was a doctor with his family.
The reason we had two records in a row, which we don't normally do on the road shows, because while those were playing, I was at the back of the caravan having an injection, an antihistamine or a histamine injection. I don't know exactly what the medical term is, but my grateful thanks to Dr. Eames. I must confess, Dr. Eames was in the audience here today, and I must confess that I've always had a hankering to shout out, you know, is there a doctor in the house? Although it's a bit awkward with the fact that we're outdoors, but it certainly was quite dramatic and exciting, and I've had the inoculation, and he said it will make me a bit sleepy. He obviously doesn't know the way I work. He won't notice the difference.
But I got through it. I got through the show. But and it made the front page of a lot of the tabloids anyway. Yeah. But the Times, they didn't... there was not a word. Not a word in the Times. No, but the thing is that it was very annoying that people did think it was some sort of publicity stunt.
I'll be back in 15 minutes' time with not an old sound, but very much a current number one sound. That's right, the Pretenders and Brass in Pocket. Here's Newsbeat at 12:30 with Richard Skinner.
Thanks, Paul. And on the Newsbeat this lunchtime, will Jimmy Carter's gamble on the Olympics boycott pay
off?
It was
in 1981 when, after doing the lunchtime show for, it was over 5 years since the summer of 76.
Vienna. That's the number two record of the moment. Kim Wilde hasn't made it yet, but I really think she's going to with this sound. It's one we've been playing quite often. It's called Kids in America.
You initially moved to the afternoon slot. 2 o'clock. Nothing really changed, though. Fun at one became fun at three. But then we had things like Firm Offer. That was good.
Sometimes it works out an oldie, sometimes a chart sound. We play what you want on this particular spot, and this is for a whole gang who work at Nashville Music Strings, and they make guitar strings. So we sort of owe them, really, because without them we wouldn't hear half the records that we've got. You see, they listen to the show every day. Bridge, Daffy, Dawn, Gwen, Alan and Doug and Jeff.
Well, actually, yes, Firm Offer, it seemed a logical thing. You know, people were always writing for requests for their workmates, so we had a spot, Firm Offer, give the firm a mention and so on, stuff like that. We did a live one because we're still doing live outside broadcasts every now and again, and this one was I don't know which factory it was, but we had a live band, and it was Chaz and Dave.
Oh, wonderful.
Chaz and Dave. So I'm doing this show in a canteen, and it's, you know, got, it's packed, everybody, you know, you could hear in the background all the knives and forks rattling around and everything. And Chaz and Dave, they were great, and Mick on the drums. Chaz, Dave and Mick. And Mick had forgotten, he's lost his drumsticks, so he did the whole set playing two wooden spoons. He had two wooden spoons from the canteen. It looked great, fantastic.
And then you found yourself, and this was a shock to the listeners. I wouldn't go as far to say as much as it was to you, but you were moved to Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock, taking over from Peter Powell. Did you feel then that, I could be in trouble here?
Although I was gutted, obviously, you can imagine. But I did understand the reasoning, and some of it was my fault. I only ever got... two letters, actually, in the whole time that were actually, you know, get off the air. What are you? One of them was just straightforward abusive. And I always think, well, the person got a very sad life. I should feel sorry for them. No, but one actually tore me apart, and they were right, because I did go through a bad period for various reasons, but I know it. I took my eye off the ball, as it were. And you got to know it. But the figures were always good, so I took comfort from that. But this letter, it was from two grammar school boys in Kingston Grammar School, or two or three, and they really, you know, get you, you know, and I hurt because it was true. So that helps. And then I went to the Saturday show.
Summer radio on the Paul Burnett Show. Hear his music grow on the Paul Burnett Show.
What an incentive that is to come down here to the studio and suddenly be much better. Got a slight cold, but nothing trivial. Steve Miller Band starting us off with Abracadabra, which leads me to say that what happened to Whoosh, I'm gone.
I was a bit annoyed that I only got a year on that. And during that year, and don't forget, Peter Powell was very popular, especially with young...
Massive.
Kids. But I increased the listening figures on that. And I was also on, which Peter didn't have the problem, with on Radio 2. It was...
Kenny Everett.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
Our old friend Kenny Everett. And I thought, oh, I'm dead. Of course, everybody loved it. But I think Radio 2 wasn't really ready for him. I don't think that was the right spot for him. But I thought, oh, well, thank you very much. But again, the figures were... And here's a nice little story, and it's something I'm very grateful to, whoever it was that did it. We never actually saw the listening figures. We'd be told them, you know, and all that. But when you actually see a BBC figure... It's not just who's listening, how many people are listening. It's what they thought of you, what they thought of the music. There were, you know, different paragraphs. And somebody in my cubbyhole, you know, we had our own cubbyhole in the studios, had shoved this. And we weren't supposed to see them. When I was, you know, given the chop, as they say, when I came off that show after a year, that was there. And it was that made me think, well, hang on, I'm not as, you know, bad as I thought it was, you know. I knew that show because I really got my act together in that last year. Because what I hope was I get a couple of years doing that and then maybe back, never in the daytime spots, but maybe evening or something like that. But it didn't work out that way. Radio One, the big one. And that's it. 8 years. I've enjoyed it very much. I hope you have too. And also want to thank Ron Belshay, my producer, who's had to put up with one or two things in the past. But it's been fun for most of the time. And, of course, I wish Mike Smith, who's going to be sitting in this chair next week, I wish him all the very best on that as well. I'm sure he'll do great. I hope I'll be with you, maybe on another channel, another radio station. But do stay tuned to the biggest and best in radio, Radio 1.
Then you moved into commercial radio, had a very, very long spell at Capital Radio,
doing gold,
of course. And now you're back at the BBC doing programmes on local radio on the South Coast. Paul, I mean, we've known each other a long time. I consider you a great friend. But, you know, to sit here now and listen to your Radio 1 story, it's been, well, as ever where you're concerned, a barrel full of laughs and so much fun. And thank you very much for sharing that story with us.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for giving me the chance to get all this stuff off my chest.